Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Friday, and we got Larry Taylor back online for all kinds of updates that are going on around the world. And it's kind of hard to know exactly where to start. How you doing, Larry?
Oh, okay. Thanks for having me, Stuart.
Why don't we maybe start with Jacksonville? I understood, and I think this was on Fox News, that St. Augustine was underwater. And that's not very far away, I guess, from Jacksonville. Have you got any more news on the Jacksonville? They probably won't know what damage has been done for some time, will they?
I guess it's going to take a little time. You know, right now is beginning. We're having probably almost high tides, and the hurricane is pushing that wall of water in. So I guess we're going to have to wait. The timing is incredible because they were warning about Jacksonville and the areas around it, and we're waiting for this time frame for that thing to move in the region there. And So we may have to wait. I've heard some places are underwater, and then others, you know, you just haven't. There's no news coming out of that area.
Wow. Somebody sent me this. This is kind of interesting. Hurricane Matthew makes landfall in the United States on 10/7. Matthew 10/7 says, "And so as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? We have just entered the year 5777. The number 5 symbolizes God's grace. Number 7 is a number of completeness and perfection. And so 577, there would be grace completed, grace perfected. And, of course, if you add them together, you get to number 26, which means the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is kind of interesting how all this might work. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it certainly is in the timing with, of course, you know, I received a number of emails today referring back to what we had talked about earlier that, This actual hurricane as a hurricane came into existence basically when Obama stood in Jerusalem and announced that Jerusalem was not in Israel. And that began the motivation of the hurricane, according to some. And then I saw also Bill Koenig had made some, directions, you know, in that same direction, basically, and I think he's kept to write a book eye to eye, you know, what you do to Israel come back on you, something like that. And then I saw a very interesting breaking news on Bill Koenig's site today, Koenig, and that's watch.org is his location. But listen to this one. Talking about, you know, and we're watching a hurricane that is really, really taking its time, moving up the coast. They're talking about between North Carolina and Virginia. They're even expecting now possibly that it'll go back out in the Atlantic and make a U-turn down there, come on back down again, and may actually threaten Florida a second time. But listen to this headline. This is from Koenig Watch.
Mm-hmm.
New York Times tells Obama to hit Israel at the UN, hit Israel hard diplomatically, with the New York Times telling Obama to pass on a decision in the UN now, spelling out the borders of Israel and the new Palestinian state. And I thought you'd find that interesting that, you know, we're coming up with that now, that movement.
Well, of course, you know, how do I word this? With the building of the One Trade Center, you know, with Obama signing that beam of steel the way he did, you know, we, and it's a W. Somebody pointed out that's a WWW or it's a 666.
Huh.
And, you know, it, rather than repent, this nation just raised its fist and shook it in the air. And I, for the life of me, I can't figure out why the people of the world think they can outsmart the Lord. I mean, after all, if the Lord created them and he allows them to exist, he could just as well not allow them to exist, it would seem to me, but I don't know. It just seems weird to me. So we're coming up on Columbus Day, too, are we not? On Monday, October the 10th. And it's also Thanksgiving Day up in Canada. But it's interesting that we've got this. When do they think this is going to go out to sea and then curve around and maybe... Yeah,
they're talking about it going out to sea. They believe sometime Sunday night or Monday, actually move back out into the Atlantic and come back around again. In other words, drop back down almost to its start over point there, you know, off Florida. And the conditions are right to build it again. And they're not even sure now that it'll actually drop below hurricane status. They think it may continue. It was a 3 up by Jacksonville, category 3, but that may change. But I find it interesting. You mentioned that WWW, at our same time frame we're talking about, 5776 and now into 5777, Obama actually signed over the WWW, which is the World Wide Web, to other than the U.S. now, too. It's a worldwide web given away.
Yeah, and basically the people who are going to be running it are communists like China, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to see major, well, we've already seen it on YouTube and other places. Wasn't it Savage? Who does the Savage Nation radio, and he's got what? I don't know how many million followers. Started talking about Hillary's health, and he gets cut off. Well, then when he announces that he was cut off to the other remaining 400 and some odd stations, they bounced him. He's out.
Yeah, and not people... only that, the Drudge Report's under attack. It was under attack by other news sources today. And they're hammering Breitbart.com. They're hammering Alex Jones with InfoWars. It's almost any alternative media or sources now are coming under really heavy attack. And as you and I have talked, we also know that there's censorship going on, especially, you know, in the social media and breaking loose into the you know, the basic World Wide Web realm that are going to begin to close down on all these sources. And by the way, I just found out, too, the other day, you know, that Yahoo had actually built algorithms to so that they could search all the words that I used when I used Yahoo email. And, you know... And so now I don't have to copy the NSA. I figure they got their own copies now all the time. I just send one email, and it'll go all over the world to three-letter agencies.
Well, they can set up all the surveillance they want, but one book they really need to surveil is the Holy Bible. That's the one book they really should be taking a keen interest in. And if so be, maybe they can outfool God. You know? Maybe
well,
they shall prevail.
Yeah, what's interesting, Stuart, one of the most redacted verses in the whole Bible, Psalm 2.
Yeah, I was going to mention Psalm 2 tonight because this is not really all about the Psalm 2 war. That's the way I look at it. I look at Psalm 2 as the foundation for all latter-day prophecy. And yet you never hear anybody talk about it.
No.
And so that leads us to another area. Okay, we've got Putin, we've got the U.S., we've got all this rhetoric, this threats of nuclear war, blah, blah, blah. Is this all... Trudge made a comment you told me about. I haven't seen it, so I didn't know. That maybe something else was going on. That they were... This was all diversionary tactics. All... Of course, in the United States, there's no war rhetoric at all. But there's the Donald Trump-Hillary fiasco and all of that. So was he referring to a possible diversion, that something else much more important is actually going on?
I believe that's what Matt Drudge was talking about. You know, we right now, and for the last few days, no matter what media you turn on, and especially not only Fox News Channel, but Fox Business News Channel, it's 24/7 of Hurricane Matthew. And I mean, it's live, and it's almost like a football game that goes for a week or two. You can't get up. You can't even get more popcorn or anything. I mean, this is ongoing, and I think that's what he was referring to, that there's so much buildup, media buildup, that it's almost, he wonders, I think, if possibly this hurricane and the elections itself is not a big smokescreen for something else building and being put together around the world that we're unaware of because we're not being told.
Well, there's certainly something going on all over the world. We know, I can't remember his name. I think his name was Gardner. And he was very high up in State Department or government of some sort or another over here in the United States. And he said that the New World Order was going to be one big buzzing confusion. And it would be a bewildering confusion. And then all of a sudden, snap, it would all come together. And it would trap the people of the world. Now, there's several ways, of course, they can do this. Now, the other diversionary tactic I was thinking about, because we know Psalm 2 war includes the rulers, kings and the rulers. It doesn't exclude anybody. Could this be a, a play, a literal playbook that they're operating on? Because if we get involved in any kind of a military involvement, a war, a hot war with Russia, we got to get into that because there's a ton of stuff on that. That would give Obama, under present executive orders, the right to suspend the elections. He wouldn't need anything else. He would just need the war.
Well, that's,
and if
that's
Obama
true.
Is in fact the one, as they say, would they not all have marching orders?
Well, they would if they followed the script. That's where I talk about the wild cards, and I name them, you know, Trump and Putin. Netanyahu,
mm-hmm.
There's some that's not going to quite follow the script that works against their peoples, and I'll call that boulders in the road, and, you know, we're beginning to have some, you know, the car that we've got that's moving forward called the New World Order, I think we're beginning to bump up against some boulders. I don't think it's going to go as smooth as they have planned, but, of course, that could change.
Well, I have always wondered if the New World Order we're hearing about is not the real New World Order You know, Stan Dale did a marvelous work in deciphering the ancient language in Daniel. And the more you read that, the more you come to the conclusion, and I suspected it, was that the real New World Order is when the arrival occurs.
Well, I think you're right. And you're exactly right about the interesting work that Stan Dale did on that, the Book of Daniel. And the more you read what he wrote and the explanations that Stan had, of that book, you begin to see if that's correct, and I do really believe it is, that the New World Order will never fully come together, be fully, totally implemented and working smoothly by the rich men. It will take that application of the foreigners, and I really mean foreigners this time, not just across the border. The outworlders, the ones that come in and arrive, to the iron the clay scenario to bring this all together into a solid governmental position.
Well, it's very, very frightening, folks, if you ever read Stan's book. It's frightening what these so-called aliens, extraterrestrials, which we know to be fallen angels, when they come here and set up their world order, it's not going to be a good order for the human race. And I guess there's nothing anybody can do to stop it. This is all part of biblical prophecy, and it's going to come to pass. Getting back to this hurricane, the last count I had was 842 people alone died in Haiti.
Yeah, I think that's correct. It's in that area, somewhere in that area, and I'm not sure we've heard all the deaths yet. They're having to do search parties there, and that thing hit pretty well, Hurricane 4 or almost 5 strength, when it hit that edge of Haiti, and it's going to take a while to really get a good accurate count, but they're very concerned about what it's doing on the U.S. East Coast right now, and they're really worried about it swinging around and coming back again.
Well, a lot of people did not evacuate. They were ordered to, but they stayed put, and I know one of them because I know him, and I called and said, or emailed, actually, and they were staying put. So we may have a number of deaths here, I would think. In your dream or vision, which is probably what it was, it wasn't a dream, it was a real vision on Jacksonville, and we're not saying this thing is the fulfillment of it, but it sure looks like it could be. Was Jacksonville just devastated?
Yeah, it was a devastation, but I did not know the reason. And of course, it's dark there now, and that water, the huge wave and tidal area, too, is combining to send those waves. And they were talking about when this surge comes in by the eyewall or whatever, that it could literally throw giant boulders and rocks and move everything, move houses. And so, it just depends how violent it is, what occurs. This may not be it. I didn't know if it was war. I didn't know if it was a nuke. I didn't know if it was a hurricane or a storm or a tornado. I had no clue. There were no answers to what devastated Jacksonville, but it was the word or the term devastation that was applied.
So, Jacksonville, as I understand it, is about, 5-10 feet above sea level?
Not much.
I mean, it's very low, so that whole area could be underwater. This could be worse, actually, I suppose, than Katrina in a way. And if it goes, isn't there another hurricane out there that they're thinking they might combine when it swings back around?
There is. I did note is that there's another one out there, and you know, whether that, you know, this is a kind of a weather phenomena that's going on that we're watching, and I agree, Stuart. You know, whether it's man-made, man-directed, cosmically operated, you know, whatever, unseen hand, whatever you say about it, this is a phenomena, and it reminds me so much of some of the descriptions of a hurricane that was going to come that 100 years ago, a seer, a Christian seer, reported on Anton Johansson. It's a phenomena. This is.
Maybe this is a warning, because his was very supernatural. And I guess it went from the Gulf. Well, of course, this one could be it, too. It could come through and go up the Gulf. And it came all the way up through to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Then it turned east, went all the way across the country, across the Atlantic, across Europe. And then it finally pooped out in Russia, if I remember the vision that he gave. And if it was a monster, it was so huge, and it just tore everything up that hit.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of, you remember the hurricane-looking things in the movie Day After Tomorrow, those strange phenomena, but of course that was great cold coming down. But it reminded me of something similar to that, to where it's hard to get out of the way, you know?
Yes, yes. Well, of course, people get lackadaisical, and they've heard all these warnings before, and then it doesn't happen the way they said it was going to happen. And so you do have the problem where the government issues these warnings, and then nothing happens, and so the people have incurred great expense. They got out of the way, and then absolutely nothing happened. Did you hear any more about the gridlock on the... there was a scientist who said when they issue these warnings and you have gridlock on the interstates, that most people are going to just simply be trapped in their cars. And they're going to have to ride out the storm in their own vehicles.
Well, so that would occur, you know. You know, I did see some of the interstates that both directions were all going away from the hurricane, and it was gridlock almost. They were moving, but they were barely moving. And I know you had a relative that got caught up in that evacuation one time, and he would have, if what came in had been horrible, he wouldn't have made it. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, well, he was very, very fortunate, and he learned a lesson, and that lesson is you don't take the interstates. you find side roads that nobody travels on, and that's how you get out. And people, really, if you're listening, you need to figure out, you get out your maps, and you don't take major roadways. And this is probably true under a martial law situation or anything. If you want to get out to wherever your bug-out point is, go on the side streets. Don't go on the main roads. It's just one of those things, I guess. I know the last count I saw was 600,000 people without power now.
I believe the last I heard was it's up to like 1.5 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you what's really strange, Stuart. They're having a lot of electrical transformers exploding. Lots of them, not just a few, an incredible amount. And you know, that makes me wonder again about, you know, we talked about the gravity waves affecting this hurricane and causing anomalies and electromagnetic phenomena that we've been seeing. You know, even up in my area, we're having really, really strange things happening with the electromagnetic field.
Yeah, I know communications is in and out. You never know whether you're going to be able to get through to someone or not. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go move over to the Putin-Russian-USA quagmire, NATO quagmire. You posted a whole lot of stuff on this, but the Russians prepare for the United States or NATO going after Damascus? In other words, they fear that there is a planned strike, I guess?
That's exactly what, there was more details come out in some intel the last day or so, because we saw this sudden deployment and support deployment of not only some Russian nuclear stuff, but also their S-300, S-400, and Gladiator missile systems. And I hear now they've activated their Iskander-M ballistic missile systems and moving them around. A lot of reports of Russian troop movements. All of this began almost a week ago when, actually began earlier than that, when the U.S.-led strike force struck, Syrian troops and actually killed some Russians, too, there around Aleppo. But there seems to be some intel leaking out now that the reason this has begun to move in the direction it has is Russia received, intel that U.S. and NATO were preparing an attack on Damascus, Syria, and the Assad regime. They were going to, it was a takeout strike. And I think that's the fear that they've had. And now, basically, within the last few hours, reports are coming out that Russia now has a no-fly zone, literally, over all of Syria and some other portions of the Middle East. And they have missile systems and is threatened to shoot down any missiles. And they've told the U.S. and warned the U.S. that any of their missiles or planes would be shot down. They would, if they were seen in that no-fly zone, that, and they're not using the term no-fly zone, but that's exactly what you're talking about, they would be deemed a threat to Russian forces.
So, if I thought it was, what's his name, Kerry, John Kerry, didn't he want a no-fly zone put over there for the U.S.?
Yeah, but he wanted the U.S. to control a no-fly zone in NATO, not Russia.
So Russia got there first, so that's probably another victory, because how are they going to establish a how is the U.S. going to establish a no-fly zone? If they go across the border with hostile intent, they're going to get shot down.
That's true. True.
Wow. So this is interesting, because Isaiah chapter 17, as you know, says something about the children of Israel cause the taking of Damascus, the destruction and elimination of Damascus. Now, this, from what you were saying, they intend to actually level Damascus totally, just wipe it out?
Well, take it out, whatever that means. They're going after, though, the report was that they were going after Assad and his regime, and they're going to take out Damascus. And now what that means, whether it was just massive bombing, but there are also some reports I saw, and interestingly, it was not hidden. It was on Yahoo News, that some of the B-1, B-2 bombers were actually doing exercises in Nevada of dropping nukes. So what does that tell you? What are we doing that for?
Yeah. Probably another clue. You being a detective know how to read clues. I would say that's probably a clue, along with many other clues. But major media here, and I don't watch hardly any TV at all, but CNN, ABC, are they saying anything about this conflict over there, or is this being expunged, so to speak?
It's pretty much being expunged. Fox is mentioning a little bit of it, especially the latest situation with the military movements of Putin. And, at the same time, while you've got the Middle East situation really volatile, there are reports, and I'm just talking from scattered reports out of Europe and that region that there's about 35,000 NATO troops moving down to Poland. And also there are some reports of a possibility that the U.S. has begun to move some of those nukes out of Turkey to Romania, like we talked about some time ago, and then there all of a sudden it was a blackout. Well, this apparently has begun again, according to the report, and Putin has moved his nukes in and really basically given an ultimatum to NATO, hands off, shut down completely, and it's a nuclear ultimatum. So, you know, and at the same time, we're getting reports, and you've read them just like I have, that they've moved missile cruisers, and I'm talking about modern ones, out of the Baltic Sea up into the Mediterranean that are now off Syria. And Putin is, if some of the reports are true, have indicated that he will sink any forces that come in to take out, you know, any Russian forces or Syrians.
Wow. So, you know, there were some prophecy visions, I guess you can call, and I always, you know, kind of wonder whether they're true or not, because a lot of them are not. But do you remember, there were several of them which said they saw an entire U.S. carrier fleet that was destroyed in an act of war.
Well, you know, yeah, well, you know, their reports are that Putin has activated those Iskander, that's I-S-K-A-N-D-E-R-M, if the people want to look it up, search it. Those missiles, they're ballistic missiles, and some of them cruise missiles, and the cruise missiles have the capability to destroy carrier groups. So the capability is there. Now, you know, I find it interesting that people so many years ago might have seen something of this scenario in our time and was wondering then with the, you know, the artillery we had then, how somebody would take out a carrier group. But today there are the capabilities that are available, you know, for that activity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
well, we have a headline here.
I was just going to add, Stuart, that I do believe that there are reports that our intelligence and the Pentagon were taken aback. Basically, they were shocked at some of the capabilities that Putin has moved into the Syrian front.
Well, and he also, he jammed and crippled several of our ships, if I remember the reports correctly.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're exactly right. He has that electronic capability. I mean, they have the cyber electronic warfare capability, too, to do that. And that is in Syria. He's moved some of that into Syria.
Well, it was maybe a year, maybe 2 years ago, that one of their defense ministers said that it would be a good idea for the United States to sit down with the Russians because of the weapons they have now. And you remember when the day the Earth stood still, with Kuno Reeves?
Yes.
You remember when they were interrogating him and he said it'd be a good idea if you let me go? Well, that's kind of what this Russian minister said. It'd be a good idea if you guys would sit down with us because we can destroy you. It's kind of like, I guess, some sort of a doomsday weapon, and we've already gotten a taste with those two naval ships that were all but crippled, totally crippled. They could not operate.
Yeah, and those were, Stuart, and those were modern electronic warfare machines. I mean, those were our best.
Yeah, so maybe that's why the Bible does indicate that we are destroyed by the Soviets, basically. Here's a breaking headline. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen this one. Russia or Prime Minister warns U.S. and Arab countries invading Syria will start a new world war. Putin Houston is blaming America for tearing apart the post-Cold War stability, all of us are now in great danger. So, I think what the American people are not being told in any of this that I can see is that Putin was invited in to Syria. It has every legitimate legal and treaty right to be there to defend Assad. We have absolutely no business being there other than that we were, and that's not legitimate, we were just trying to have a regime change. In fact, I was watching a video here just a little bit ago where they keep repeating the same thing over and over again. Assad must go. Well, Putin has evidently decided he doesn't.
Well, what's interesting, Stuart, you know, my theory, it's not really a theory, but, you know, in Daniel it talks about a ruler that takes down three kings. Well, you know, we know two kings have been removed, you know, Gaddafi and Mubarak by Obama. Now, Obama's been trying his administration for almost eight solid years to bring down Assad, and that would be the third king if that happens.
Well, you're right. Yeah. Well, here's another headline for you. Putin has given the United States an ultimatum. Now, what is that ultimatum? Is that the one about NATO? You get out, you remove your troops, or else? Is that the same thing? You know?
Well, you know, there's an interesting scenario, and let's mention this here, I guess. There's a scenario going on in the UN right now. They're talking some type of, matter of fact, they called a UN emergency meeting today that is closed. You probably won't hear what they're talking about, but it's involving Syria. And there are reports that the Obama administration is trying to move ahead with a partitioning of Syria. And we know that Turkey's already, with the U.S., Turkey has already invaded a portion of Syria, and U.S. troops are embedded there. And then, you know, Iran has a portion, and Assad has his portion. Russia's got its region. But there was a secret meeting today of the UN to discuss the Syrian partition, somewhat like what they had happen in Sarajevo. You remember that?
Yes, yes. Oh, boy. Well, I wonder if that's – what can the UN do, though? Let's be realistic. What can the UN do about it? And would the UN
with Russia, and of course we're not seeing it in the news, but you know China's more involved with Syria and Assad than people realize. You know, I know when we posted or talked about that, you know, when Russia began to move in, China, you know, sent a carrier and troops, and then people poo-pooed that like it didn't even exist. But no, China's in there. Now, with Russia and China carrying the sway they have in the UN, I don't know what kind of activity or action will be available. Very interesting.
To say the least. October 6, 2016, Putin authorizes sinking of NATO ships as Russian troops prepare for Syria deployment. How many troops is he bringing in down there? So he's reinforcing what he's got.
Oh, by far. If the report that I saw is accurate, tens of thousands, a scenario like this, Stuart, if it's true, a scenario like this almost reminds me of Isaiah 17, 18, and then all of a sudden Ezekiel 38, 39, almost in a quick succession.
Yeah. World War III has begun, the headline says, as Red October event nears. And this brings us to your vision of the missiles of October. Could you elaborate on that vision again for everybody?
Yeah, that was a very interesting vision I had many, many years ago. It's been posted. Matter of fact, I saw it the other day posted on Z3News.com, and they had got it from Stan Deo. Stan Deo and Holly Deo had posted a number of years, and it's been so many years since I had that it's never come to pass that, you know, I kind of just leave it in the Lord's hand because I don't know anything to do with it. Every year that October approaches, I kind of cringe up a little because what happened one day, I was very, very tired. I just sat down on the bed and leaned back and was instantly asleep. I saw missile silos, or what appeared to be silos, begin to fire just a limited number. They wasn't all of them. It was just a limited number. A certain number of missiles were fired, and I was given to know that these missiles were missiles we never thought anyone would ever fire. And I saw them go up and kind of arc over and begin to come down towards their targets, or MIRV, or whatever you want to call it. And I woke up instantly, and I heard a very loud voice in my spirit say, "These are the missiles of October." And there was no year given. So in many, many years, I've watched October come and go, and it has not occurred.
Well, it appears like maybe it will be this year or next, from what we can see. Any more news on the Russian citizens by the tens of millions that have been ordered to do the bunker routine? And what's this business of the nuclear subs of the Soviets, the Russians, getting to their strike points? Are those strike points for the United States?
Well, it reminds me a little bit of an old Tom Clancy novel called Red Storm Rising, I believe it was, where actually Russian subs, when Russia was about to actually take on NATO, in his, it's like a 1982 novel, been a number of years, Russia was about to, in the novel now, and we're talking, was about to strike NATO and fight NATO, and they were going to make a move in the Middle East, and all of this was done because of oil or energy in the novel, and they set their submarines around the U.S. as a checkmate to keep the U.S. from backing up NATO for a period of time. And interestingly, too, they went down and set up bases close to Norway and to checkmate any activity or the U.S. movement around Iceland and up through that region. And that's almost what we're seeing happening. And now, you know, months ago, Stuart, you and I talked about early reports of Russian submarines, nuclear submarines, and Russian submarines were putting to sea. Remember, we talked about that.
Yes.
On shows, you know, intel shows. And then,
yep,
remember, after that, we saw legitimate news reports of NATO and the U.S. searching for submarines. Remember that?
Yes,
you know?
I do remember that.
All of that, yeah, all of that came out, and then now we're beginning to see that short reports of maybe Russian submarines are in their assigned locations, and you're wondering, and sincerely, I kind of doubt that this is an exercise. It's probably a defensive mechanism from Putin, but
yes,
it does make sense, and it does remind me of Tom Clancy's novel, even.
Well, do you remember the movie The Hunt for Red October?
Yes.
And Sean Connery played the commander. In his speech to the troops, the sub guys, was very, very interesting in what he said, how they would lay out there at their assigned points and just listen, and we would not be able to find them, and they would not even know they were there. And I was just watching a video on the latest of naval abilities of the Soviets, and they have a brand new sub, evidently, that is extremely quiet. And that's what Red October, The Hunt for Red October, was all about, that.
Yeah.
It was a sub that was so quiet, it could hardly be detected.
And
one of the guys on... Yeah, go.
I was just going to say, Stuart, I think one of the earlier reports that we were talking about back when was some U.S. concern with some of those same submarines actually going to sea because they are so quiet and they are so hard to find, and apparently we've been searching.
So this thing is getting more and more tense. I'm going to read. This is from Searcher Fall. And so you got to take what she says or he says or whoever says. But it says this: a dire and foreboding Security Council report states that 200,000 Ministry of Emergency Situations, AMERICOM, Specialists of Emergency Rescue Divisions, with about 50,000 units of equipment, have begun evacuating over 40 million citizens to their assigned nuclear protective bunkers. Now, in Isaiah 17, we do not know how long after Isaiah 17 brings about Ezekiel 38 and 39. It doesn't really say, but I'm wondering if that's not something that occurs fairly rapidly, because if we take out Damascus and level it, that's going to destroy a whole lot of Soviet military machines, troops, etc., etc. That's an act of war that Putin cannot ignore because he has treaties with Syria. He's there defending, actually, he's a literal now defender of Syria, and that's, I think that's exactly what Ezekiel 38-39 says, that they have their defender, and they have their people who give them arms, and so it looks to me like this could go down fairly rapidly. Now, in Isaiah chapter 18, what's interesting is that the taking out of the United States, and I firmly believe Isaiah 18 is about the United States, it says that the attack comes in the early summer when the buds are not yet perfect and the harvest is not yet in. So that would be probably what, maybe June, July, somewhere like that?
Yeah, that's that is interesting. And what's interesting about all of this is we've got such an unknown scenario going on with the election. If we do have the election, who wins may determine how soon or if there is a delay or what type of scenario. And you know, you've read as well as I have, you know, prophetically, both sides of this are being determined. Another one side says basically they've been shown that Hillary wins and that's it. And then another side says, well, Trump wins, you know, and they've been shown both. And we know that both could not coexist. And then we've got Obama in the foreground that actually appears to be wanting to stay in office. Matter of fact, I told you about a vision some woman had the other day, and it was on Z3 News, and talking about where he was pounding the table and saying that he was not going to leave, that he was going to remain. And when questioned, how can you remain? He said, by martial law, that's how I can stay. So,
yes, he only needs a war. He could use economic collapse. He could set up a false flag. There's a number of scenarios he can use to bring in martial law, and nobody can challenge it. I don't think the American people understand that. But if he declares martial law a state of emergency, we're already in a state of emergency, actually, according to those who have really studied it out, like Randy Yarbrough. I mean, we've been in a state of emergency for I don't know how long. But this would be another type of emergency. And then he sends everybody home, and there is no election. There is no Senate. There is no Congress of any kind. The Supreme Court is dismissed, and that holds true for 6 months. before anything can be challenged, anything can be done.
Well, that's interesting, I was just going to say that's interesting because if just before this election, and we're almost there, we go to a martial law situation, that would literally put off Obama having to do anything. If you say 6 months, that would be like, what, June, July?
It would. Yeah. Well, what's also interesting is, you know, J.R. Church did that stuff on the Psalms and the number of the Psalms and how it related to the year.
Yes.
It's interesting that 2017 is Psalm 17. I'm thinking wrong here. But anyway, you've got... the year 2017 and Isaiah chapter 17. So it makes you wonder. Oh. Now, we're already in 2017 by the Israeli calendar, correct? We went into that in October 2nd or 3rd?
Yeah, we're in it.
So Isaiah 17 should occur sometime quite soon. And... you know, if you read Ezekiel 38-39, folks, there's a passage in there which I'm absolutely convinced is the United States and the taking of the United States. And if that's true, when you see that Israel going down, watch out here because, you know, the kids have found the matches and they don't care about launching them. And that's one of the big problems. The mankind is insane, I think. I mean, we really are.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting, too, Stuart, and I don't remember who had the dream or vision or whatever, but you remember about the number 44 and how that someone had seen all the houses. They visited them in this vision. They were shown all the houses of the leadership of America from the beginning to the end. And remember, there were only 44 houses, I believe, was the way that vision went.
That's right. Yes, right. You're right. I do remember that, and 44 was the number. And if you watched any of the YouTube and the movies and stuff, 44 became a prominent number, along with 923 and 911. The elite just loved these numbers. Before we get off on the war stuff, I was told that Finland and Sweden have now have a defense treaty with the United States because of the Russian flyovers and the Russian probing of their borders. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I have. Actually, as a matter of fact, you know, four countries, when we actually did the last intel briefing that we did, had to send up... fighters because Russian bombers were approaching their territory, their territorial regions. And a matter of fact, they had Russian bombers off the U.S. coast today. This is ongoing. It's a daily thing. Russian bombers off the U.K. and again, down in the Finland region.
Norway.
Yeah, same area. And remember, what complicates this is Russia literally has a base there now. It used to be a U.S. or NATO base, you know, off Norway.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. They took over an abandoned base of some sort up there.
Yeah, that's true.
So where does Israel sit in all this, besides in the middle?
Well, I'll tell you what's disconcerting to me is I'm very concerned about the reports. And, I shared that with you and the listeners the other day again about the planes and the missiles and the heavy weaponry that Israel had finally been given by Obama. And I wondered if there was a reason for that. In other words, is there a string attached, so to speak? And when I began to hear about the Damascus strike that was the U.S. had planned, I wondered if this is something Obama has set up that will come back on Israel if they actually carry out the strike using that war material. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, why would they get it otherwise? I mean, we know Israel has massive defense capabilities, probably far beyond anything we've been told. So, yeah, we love to put strings on things. So maybe the string is you're going to use this and you're going to strike Damascus. It's kind of odd, however, that all of this is on the airways and it's in articles that we have a plan to strike Damascus. So is it possible that they kind of let this die down a little bit? Things get quiet and then the 1-2 punch is thrown at that point when it's quiet. I know the United States is taken, according to the Bible, at a time when nobody would suspect that such a thing could happen. So it almost seems like maybe things have quieted down a little bit and then all hell breaks loose. What say you on that?
You know, I'll add another piece of news that came out today that rather striking. You know, we moved missile systems into South Korea, and South Korea has a plan, you know, to take out UNG. And at the same time, there are new reports just came out today that North Korea now has new movement at its nuclear site, and they're expecting North Korea to fire off another nuke.
Yeah, and I know they some of the experts were saying that they were having trouble, I guess, with their nuke yield, but then some other experts came on board and said that's probably EMP nukes, that they don't have a very high yield. But they are specifically not high yield for massive EMP attack. And don't we have that satellite coming up over the United States about every 90 minutes? It's a North Korean satellite. It comes from the south to the north.
It's every 12 or 24 hours. It's not every 90 minutes, but it's about every 12 or 24 hours, I think, which also we've got reports that now China has begun talking war with America. And, you know, there's been some movement to their forces. And so, you know, it's not like we don't have enough hot spots. They're just, they're everywhere.
Yeah, it sounds like the Armageddon script. And if I remember Dmitry Dudeman's vision that he was shown by the Lord, China and Russia and a few others all get together to annihilate us, if I remember right.
That's correct.
Is that correct? Wow.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
So we sit on the precipice, and are we, sooner or later, this thing has to go. Bible prophecy says it has to go. So I guess the only question we have left is, will there be a delay? Is this all stage play, like Drudge is saying? Maybe there's something else going on. Is this covering up the coming collapse of the economy? Deutsche Bank, they say, is on the way down. And it's just a question of when it goes, which is fairly soon from what I gather. And that Deutsche will bring down all the other banks because they're all connected. So maybe that's what this is all about. Nations go to war when the economy goes down.
That's right.
When the economy's going to collapse, we go to war. So that's just one more indication, I guess, as to how close we really must be on this thing. So, anyway, your final thoughts.
Oh, my. Stuart, there's so much news. I'm overwhelmed with it. And it's moving so fast. Just people need to keep watch.
Yeah. How do they get a hold of you, Larry?
Okay. My blog site, LarryWTaylor.org. That's LarryWTaylor.org.
Good. Well, folks, you need to go tune in to Larry's updates. He has one about every hour. There's so much going on. It's, you know, like Larry just said, it's news, 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 news. And you got to just remember what the spin is, what the propaganda is, and try and figure out what the real truth is. And the only way you can do that is to go back to your Bible, Read your Bible. Study your prophecies, and you'll know. Anyway, thanks, Larry, for coming on, and we'll see everybody again next week, the Lord willing. Good night.